Subdivision 2006-27 O.A. Newton.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, dividing 95.24 acres into 137 lots, utilizing the cluster development concept, and being located north of Road 404, 1,900 feet west of Road 525. Now, this application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee. The comments were requested to be received by January 24th of 2007. On August 13th of 2007, the staff received a letter of no objection from DLDOT. On August 17th of 2007, the applicant's engineer submitted a revised preliminary plan addressing the comments made by the Technical Advisory Committee and the plus comments. Each commission member has received a copy of this revised plan. On August 20th of 2007, the applicant's engineer submitted an exhibit booklet. And again, each commission member has received a copy of the exhibit booklet, which is about a 2-inch two-ring binder. It is a part of the record and has been in the record since the 20th. And as far as additional comment, we did receive today a letter from the Office of Management and Budget State Planning Coordination. It was dated August 22nd. It states attached to the copy of the letter received from Kevin Smith with Cursor Engineering containing their response to the state agency comments received through the Preliminary Land Use Service, also known as PLUS, for the Bridge Branch Estates project. I've also attached a copy of our original comments on this project dated August 23rd of 2006. As noted in our original letter, this project is located within an investment level 4 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending. Because of its location in level 4, the state agencies objected to this project. State agencies made recommendations regarding the technical aspects of the plan. While we appreciate Mr. Smith increasing the buffer from 30 feet to 50 feet, the revised site plan shows that will be approximately 12 acres of usable open space on a 95.24 acre parcel. The balance will be used for stormwater or wastewater. In addition, Mr. Smith states because this project is within a few miles from Bridgeville, the owner believes this project will allow people to live in the country and still be within the amenities of town living. The state would question how Bridgeville will feel about these residents using their services in town parks without paying taxes to the town. And the last paragraph, Mr. Smith states that this project will create opportunities for individuals in the western side of the county to purchase more affordable homes. It has not been stated by Mr. Smith what the expected home price will be for these homes, but the county should consider that even if the home price is lower, larger lots require more maintenance, and the owners will have to pay HOA fees for the upkeep of the open space in the central septic system. The homeowners will also have to rely on a vehicle to take them the few miles to services, and alternative transportation options such as walking and DART may not be available. The state supports affordable housing, but we would like to see it built in an area where infrastructure and services are available, not a few miles away. And that was signed by Constance Holland, Director of the Office of State Planning Coordination. And that's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley.
For the record, Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, O.A. Newton & Son Company. With me tonight are two generations of management of the company, Bob Ryder, former CEO and now chairman of the board of the company, and his son, Rob Ryder, who is the CEO of the company. Rob Ryder and the project designer, Kevin Smith from Kircher, will take you through the application. But before we begin, I needn't remind you, but I ask you to take plus comments with a grain of salt. In your project booklet, in the initial plus report. Connie Holland gets a little carried away in her efforts to bash development in level four. She describes this as an isolated rural area, and we will establish that it isn't. But she also sets forth that this property is not in Kent County's growth district. And she's right. If it were in Kent County's growth district, it could be subject to a moratorium. She also opines that the Capital School District has facilities sufficient to serve this project. Fortunately, we're dealing with the Woodbridge School District, but we've addressed that, and you'll hear about Dr. Carson in Woodbridge. Additionally, the Ayatollah of Bridgeville was here momentarily, and I asked him about parks in Bridgeville, and he said there is one very small one, and Bridgeville does not feel threatened at all by this project. In fact, it welcomes it. With that said, I'd ask Rob and Kevin to come forward and introduce themselves. Rob, for the tape recorder, introduce yourself, please.
My name is Robert F. Ryder, Jr., CEO of O.A. Newton in Bridgeville.
Can you provide the commission a short history of the company and this property?
I sure can. Thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity. O.A. Newton has been a fixture of Sussex County for a little bit more than 90 years now, founded in 1916. I'm the fourth generation of family management. The company started as a feed and grain and a poultry operation, and was that for upwards of 50 to 60 years. And we have evolved into a number of different businesses over the years, but currently we're in the material handling business, building engineered material handling systems for a number of products and customers all over the world. One of our more interesting products most recently is we've built almost 40% of the capacity to make the wood composite decking, such as Trex or TimberTech or some of the things that are often used down at the beaches. We also locally are an irrigation business servicing the agricultural sports fields and a number of other needs for local irrigation with locations both here in Bridgeville and up in Batavia, New York. I'd like to segue a little bit into why this project is on the table for us. This property was purchased by the company in 1943, actually before my father or myself were part of the business. And it was purchased for the purpose of expanding our poultry operation. Most importantly, we needed an alternative location to potentially put chicks, in the case of disease, away from the home farm. It was purchased not with the intent of it being productive agricultural land, but really with the intent of building some kind of project on it. The property, can I step away?
Absolutely. Speak up.
The property is located on Route 404, Route 18, centrally located between Bridgeville and Georgetown. It's a 95-acre parcel, and as you can see, it's surrounded by a variety of other developments. Walker's Mill, Country Glen, Knott's Landing, Morningside Village. These are in the range of a density of maybe 1.7 units per acre. These may be 3 to 4 units per acre, and this has a fairly high density down here as well. So there's quite a bit of, this is the Coverdale area down here.
So Rob, all of those properties are within a mile radius of the site?
Or less, yes, absolutely. So this is the parcel right here, and the Sussex County landfill is there. And as the county is aware, we worked and cooperated with the county last year to sell a 7-acre buffer to the county before this project came up for approval.
Can we clarify that, Rob? That 7 acres is part of the 95?
It's part of the 95, yes.
Meaning that the property was acquired by Sussex County after the application was filed?
Yes, that's correct.
So the actual parcel size is approximately 88 acres?
Yes.
In its present configuration.
And a clarification. clarification, I think, on the application, which Kevin will get into, is that it's 131 lots now.
And that's as a result of your trip to Plowson back?
Yes, after the bus review.
Kevin could address that. Could you just identify properties to the east and immediate west of the site?
To the immediate east would be the Coverdale area, and then the Collins Pond area. There's subdivision in here and subdivision down here, and there's more down here with Coverdales. To the immediate west is Walker's Mill, which currently has central water and sewer, and then Country Glen, Knox Landing, Morningside Village 1 and 2, consisting of 40 lots, 45 lots, 64 lots, and 98 lots, and 180 lots in Walker's Mill.
To the immediate north?
To the immediate north is a large parcel that belongs to Dale Wheatley, Wheatley Farms, and that is currently in ag land preservation. And Dale completely, as you can see in the project book, he completely supports our project. We also, pending favorable review of this, would anticipate that the northernmost lots would sell the best because they would have front row seating for pumpkin chunk.
That's the site. Kevin, if you could step forward, identify yourself, and briefly describe your credentials. Rob, don't leave.
I am Kevin Smith. I work for Kircher Engineering. I've been a project manager in Sussex County for about 10 years.
Kevin, can you take the commission on a quick tour of the site plan underneath the first board?
There was a removal or sale of 7.6 acres in the northeast corner of the project, which results in the project being 87.64 acres. We have 131 lots, as was stated before, which allows for net, which makes a density of 1.5 units per acre. Currently, there are no wetlands on the project site, and there's a report in your packet that identifies that from JCM Environmental. Constance Holland said that there was not much open space on the project, and seeing on the plan there's about 43 acres of open space. Not all of this community septic area is going to be utilized for community wastewater. Most of it is going to remain open. The only impervious in the area is going to be probably a building for the facilities, the community wastewater. There are a few stormwater management areas shown on the plan. There are natural walking paths in the open space. And also in the plus comments, they mentioned that there was a significant increase in pervious. With this plan, I've estimated there was only going to be about 19% impervious on the site. That takes into consideration there's going to be 3,000 to 4,000 square feet of impervious with buildings and driveways on each lot, including the 20-foot roadways.
Kevin, while you're going through the plan, in lieu of sidewalks, you designed walking paths?
Yes, they're walking paths within the open spaces, the natural materials.
And those are all pervious? That's the design?
Yes, the design is for pervious.
And the development will be served by streetlights?
Yes, there will be streetlights provided along the roadway.
All right, if you could come back to the microphone, I'm going to try to turn you and Rob Ryder loose together to talk about County Ordinance 99-9C. And both know what it says. I ask you to start with subsection 1 and move to 17. Weigh in when each of you feels like it.
Okay. Everyone has it in their packet. They can follow along. The first item was the integration of the proposed subdivision in the existing terrain and surrounding landscape.
There are very few trees on the property. Those trees are going to be incorporated into the 50-foot buffer, and they will not be removed from the site. Any tree that's on the site now shall remain. There are existing subdivisions, as Rob showed you on the other aerial. They consist of typically half-acre lots. Some are three-quarters of an acre. They range in size, and there's also a mobile home development or community. Minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. There are no wetlands on the site, and the project is in a Zone X, which is outside of the floodplain. Where it says preservation of natural and historical features. There are no known historical features on the site, but the developer is willing to allow the state to investigate for any historical features. And the developer has sold 7.6 acres, and it will be preserved by the county as their open space and as a buffer between their lands and the proposed subdivision. There is 48% open space, and if it was a standard subdivision as a three-quarter acre, there's no requirement for open space. Therefore, there would be a minimal amount. In your packet, I've designed a standard three-quarter acre subdivision, approximately 92 lots, has very minimal open space, which would have been dedicated for stormwater management. Probably about 7%, or about, I believe, 6 to 7 acres.
With regards to the minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade change, as Kevin mentioned, there will not be any trees that are currently on the site that get removed. As a matter of fact, this, based on some overhead or some aerial photos from 1928, this was a peach orchard back then. And with the 50-foot buffer going around the property, we do plan on putting indigenous trees back in around that buffer and throughout other open areas in the development. Part of our roots are in trees, as Mr. Newton was the first tree farmer in the state of Delaware. And I can't tell you the year, but it was a while ago.
The next item is screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. As stated previously in the other comments, there is a 50-foot buffer, which shall be landscaped with trees indigenous to the area. So there will be an increase in trees on the site, and it will shield this property from the agriculture, as well as shield the agriculture from the subdivision. There is water and sewer. It's going to be central. It's going to be, the water supply is going to be taken over by Tidewater Utilities, and they also own Tidewater Environmental, which will also engineer, design, and maintain and operate the central collection wastewater facility.
Tidewater has provided us a willing and able letter for the project book.
And prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater, if we're granted preliminary approval, we will submit to the appropriate agencies, such as the Sussex Conservation District, and have to deal with their comments and approvals. The wastewater facility will have to be engineered and designed to meet or exceed Denerec standards. Minimization of erosion sediment control, changes in groundwater level, the runoff rates. Again, if granted preliminary approval, the appropriate agencies will have to weigh in on how we can minimize the runoff from the site. They will also govern the erosion and sedimentation.
We do have the, as far as provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and adjacent ways, we do have the DLDOT no objection letter. We also have provisions for street lighting, and as we mentioned before, there's an ample amount of walking paths in the community so that we can steer pedestrians away from the road and provide places for them to walk and to be part of their community.
The effects on area property values, this project should not adversely affect any of the existing property values to adjacent properties. They should typically increase depending on the market.
With regards to the preservation and conservation of farmland, as I mentioned earlier, there is a ag land preservation district on the north side of the property, which complements this property. The owner of that is in favor of this, has no problem with it. We'll be shielding our property from his with a 50-foot buffer, and the adjacent ag properties on the east and west will also have the appropriate buffer. With respect to the schools, public buildings, and community facilities, I spent some time in several areas, one of which is met with Dr. Carson, the superintendent of the Woodbridge School District, and I did enclose a letter in the project book from him, not only stating that he felt that the district had adequate capacity to take the additional students that might result from this, but more importantly, we spent more time discussing the need, and he indicated to me that barely 10% of his teachers are able to live within the district, which creates high retention issues for him. He has high turnover. He said if he could find opportunities for moderately priced housing in his district, and it could be a home for teachers, it would be a benefit. Correspondingly, I've had conversations with other folks, and there's a lot of data that supports this, and this has been our vision for this property, to provide a moderately priced home. Hospitals are having trouble finding places for nurses to live. Del Tech graduates are having problems finding places to live. It's a topic of conversation at this year's Sussex County Today and Tomorrow conference this October.
We've already touched on it, but the area roadways and public transportation, we do have a letter of no objection. We received TAC comments from DelDOT, addressed those comments, submitted them a revised plan that shows the deceleration lane for right turns and a protected left turn lane for people turning left into the property. With respect to compatibility with other land uses, there are several other existing developments within half a mile to a mile. These areas are typically more dense or denser than our particular project. And, with respect to the effect on area waterways, if granted preliminary approval, Denerec and the Conservation District would have to approve any plans with regard to area waterways.
Kevin, before we leave the site plan in 99-C, would you look at the site plan? There's an area where I believe seven lots are stacked above five lots. Is there any provision in your plan to separate those lots or buffer them in any way?
We were in discussion to make a 20-foot wide easement for landscaping, so that all properties will have some sort of screening from each other.
Although it should be obvious from your review of 99-9C, can you guys summarize why this cluster design is superior to an ordinary grid subdivision?
I'll start. When we started putting this together, Kevin showed me what it looks like to just create a subdivision. And there is a copy of that in your book. And when you look at it, it's pretty ugly. It's just a lot of lots on a piece of property. And we had a vision to create a little bit more of a community while it's while we still want to keep it moderately priced. In doing so, the cluster option allows for a lot of open space, a lot of green, the opportunity to plant trees, and to make this a very desirable place to live. We've been able to, the lot size is such that they're not the minimum, but they're big enough, and there's a lot of pervious land area as opposed to filling it with roads and driveways and garages.
Anything you want to weigh in with, Kevin? It's your plan. Or is Rob caught it?
Well, there's we want to keep the project as green as we can. That's why in the provision and the plan you see there are no sidewalks surrounding the roadways. We believe that the natural walking paths should provide enough walking area and give a sense of community. The more impervious you place on the project, it's worse for the project. It also increases the amount per lot of infrastructure. And in order to keep the cost down, we try to minimize some things that could save money as well as green space.
Kevin, if you had to summarize your trip to Plus and Beck, the result is a better design, fewer locks, and more open space?
Yes. The original design that Plus received, the lots were about 13,300 square feet. It was much more of a, looked more of a standard subdivision, pretty square, very few curves. So we tried to minimize the size of the lots without creating very small lots, but also create large open space areas, try to put in a little bit of extra curve and more aesthetically appealing to buyers.
Rob, I know you're going to be asked a question by a member of the commission, so I'll go first. Do you have a definition of affordable or moderately priced housing in your mind that you can share with us?
Based on the research that I've done, and some of this comes from the research done within the county by the state, the target price would be between $175,000 and $225,000 for a package.
Gentlemen, that's the application. We think it's consistent with the housing element of the comprehensive plan. We think the project has reacted positively to TAC and Plus. We think it's compared to its neighbors of modest density and creates green space that none of its other neighboring developments has. And as Dr. Carson is reading their project footprint statuses, there is a compelling need for this type of housing in the Woodbridge School District. It will serve a cross-section of the workforce in the Bridgeville and Seaford area. Glad to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple. What the community septic area, what will that look like?
That has not been determined yet. We did get a letter today granting the approval of the feasibility study, but none of the engineering has been performed for the actual community wastewater.
Is your feeling it'll be a field though? I mean, is the
my feeling is it's going to remain green. The only thing that is going to be impervious is the facility for the actual wastewater.
Would the community be able to use it?
They should be able to use a good portion of that area, in my estimation.
And it will be maintained by the homeowners association, I would guess?
That area would probably be maintained by Tidewater.
Are you anticipating wet ponds?
We're anticipating a few wet ponds with walking paths around, possibly benches, if the site plan agrees to place gazebos in the area.
Would the there be an area for a bus stop?
There would be a place for the bus stop. We were going to, if granted preliminary approval, we wanted to go to Dr. Carson, find out where they would like the bus stop. There is room at the entrance to place your standard bus shelter, but if Dr. Carson would like, we may be able to provide a off the street type parking and turnaround for a bus.
There's mention in the book of an archaeological, an old house. Is it?
There are no homes on the site.
See.
And as stated, if necessary, we and the Historical Society wants to come out there and verify that the owner wouldn't object. But it's been a farm field for years, so they may not find much.
What will the walking paths be consisted of? What will they be made of?
Natural materials. I believe it might be probably bark or stone if required, but probably more of a natural bark or pine.
And will there be access to the 7 acres that are deeded off, or will that just...
The 7 acres that the county owns?
Mr. Burton, let me address that. Mr. Robertson's acutely aware of my consternation about this, since he and I negotiated the acquisition by the county of the 7 acres. After the acquisition by the county, after the land was sold and purchased, the engineer's office came up with the bright idea that the owner of this property should construct a fence between its property and the county's property. And I've taken the position that the county engineer should have raised that issue during contract negotiations. He can build his own fence. But what it is green space. The land was acquired as open space to provide perfect buffer for the landfill. The negotiations were amicable. The issue never came up. It only came up long after the county acquired the ground. And the engineer's office knew this application had been in the pipeline for a year. Suffice it to say, I'm a little unhappy about the county's position, and Mr. Robinson knows it. Perhaps he can speak to it.
I mean, it is what it is. The county acquired that land. They purchased it. It was a buffer for the landfill. So, yeah.
Will there be any landscaping buffer between the buffered land and the owner's land?
There will be a few trees there, but there's no designated buffer with trees as shown on the rest of the perimeter of the project.
Well, right, Mr. Burton, had the owner known the county wanted the fence, the price would have gone up.
Well, I'm having a little trouble understanding this. The county wants the fence?
Yeah, well, the way this is, it's next to the county's landfill. The 7 acres, the county bought it, and after purchasing it as a buffer, I understand one of the comments from county engineering was that they were then requiring these folks to put up a fence along that property line. I'm not sure how engineering would necessarily describe it, but it was either, it was to prevent access to the landfill, I guess.
Well, you know, if I want to prevent access to my yard, I don't ask my neighbor to put up a fence. I mean, not normally. You put up your own fence, don't you? No, I mean, all right, never mind.
Particularly after you bought land from
it. It's beyond the scope of this of this body's.
I couldn't help myself. I apologize.
Well, and I couldn't either. So, but I need to. We need that's really not our issue. So
sorry,
I do believe it would be very difficult if a fence was placed there to maintain the lands, because if they had to come from the landfill to maintain that open space that they purchased, I believe would be very difficult because the landfill is
county
wooded.
Owns the land, they'll maintain
county
it.
Owns the land, so they're going to have to find a way to maintain it. So a fence would probably hinder that.
Is it a fair statement to say that you don't have any intentions of putting up a fence unless someone compels you to do it?
That's accurate.
All right, then. Go ahead, Mr. Burton. Is the lots 125 through 131 and 124 through 120, you're talking about a 20-foot easement there, which was just landscaping. That's not for footpath or?
No, just it's going to be a planted buffer.
Okay.
To prevent the argument of who should build the fence.
Yeah.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Johnson.
Could you tell me what the proposed distance is from the highway to the to those lots numbering 5 through 103?
These lots fronting?
Burning the highway.
The highway?
Yes. What kind of distance are we talking about?
From the right of way, it's probably, I'd have to say it's about 35 feet from the right of way.
Do you live on a highway?
I actually live on a furnished road, which should be considered a highway.
My concern is for those all those folks along that road, having lived on a highway myself in the past, and I live probably 1,000 foot from the highway now, and I hear the road noise all the time. I think you might want to give some consideration to moving those lots in and providing some kind of perhaps a site barrier of this project from the highway. I mean, we're talking about predominantly agricultural area all along that area. Now all of a sudden we're going to drop a bunch of houses growing in the field. So from an aesthetic value, as well as for those folks that would be living along there, that to me looks like a concern. And given that you have such a huge area there for, as you describe it, a green area, perhaps that some of that area could be utilized or flipped on the other side of those lots.
Yeah, we could attempt to modify the site plan and provide a buffer.
Or a berm with landscaping, something.
Right. We were discussing that earlier about landscaping those lots along the front.
Talking about the green area, I think that's how you refer to it, as it's going to be a green area.
Right.
What type of technology are you looking at for the disposal of that? Are we talking about spray irrigation system, a drip system, rapid infiltration?
It would probably be rapid infiltration and or drip irrigation, which are typically underground.
Okay.
No over-the-surface applications would be considered.
And I have to state, I take a big exception with your discussion about the walking paths as providing safe pedestrian travel, because if my family happens to be on that lot 49 to 57 and my kids need to get to the school bus stop, how are they going to get there?
Hopefully someone drives them, because that's a really long walk.
Right, but You're telling me these walking paths are going to provide safe pedestrian travel, but I don't see how. It's going to service, looks like to me, about half of the lots are not readily accessible to any walking path, let alone providing connectivity to the other sections. And I'll start with the stormwater management ponds in the front, and all those lots between the stormwater management ponds and the highway, how would they access or be accessible to the back section, as shown on your color plan here? I don't see any connectivity to that.
There's no proposed walking paths in this area south of the stormwater management area.
Right.
That again is to try to preserve green space.
There's a little bit of an unknown in that front area still as far as what actual area the community septic would require. Once we know that, it would be easier to, you know, to further enhance the walking trails.
Okay.
The primary understanding your concern, by all means, that one of the other reasons that we omitted the sidewalks, besides being green and trying to not create too much more impervious area, is in the name of the moderately priced housing, trying to keep the infrastructure costs in line, because that ultimately gets passed on to the lot price and the home price.
And the down the road maintenance costs. Sidewalks fail. And 20 years down the road, that would be a burden of a homeowners association, and that would be one whopping assessment in a moderately priced housing development.
So if we could address the safety issue in another manner, we'd be willing to do that.
Well, I don't know about any of the other commissioners, but I'm not aware of any cluster development that's been approved that did not include sidewalks, simply because we're talking about a lot of houses put in very small lots with without that. But if you might be able to refresh my memory, Mr. Byard, about some that I may have overlooked. Let's talk a little, we've talked about what you're proposing and what you're proposing to provide. Let's talk about what I don't see you're being proposing or providing. And that's an area of amenities. You know, I see you got a couple park benches here and there that's accessible to some of the residents and some of the others are not. Other than the walking paths, I see a glaring omission of any other amenities, whether they're recreational or passive of any sort, other than a big green field. Or am I missing something?
I'll let Rob elaborate on that.
At this point, we've been trying to balance the amenities with the cost structure, and there's certainly opportunities for some of the passive, you know, whether it be a playground or something like that. What we did really want to avoid were the higher cost amenities that would add both upkeep and maintenance to the homeowners association. But you know, the passive recreation areas or gazebos and things like that are certainly in play.
So those things are certainly would be considered in terms of those types of amenities.
Sure.
You know, we're not talking about the grand clubhouse and the indoor pools and all that
right.
stuff.
Those are the amenities we'd like to avoid it's not that type of a development. This isn't a gated community.
Right. Well, I think Mr. Smith refers to that as that's good on the saltwater Sussex side. We're in the soybean Sussex side.
So. Right.
The water is, has there been any further discussions about the provision of the water? I saw reference to if you can't get it hooked up to connected to one of their pipes, you might have to provide your own. But then there's concern about contamination from the nearby landfill.
There is not, to the best of my knowledge, there is not concern about contamination from the landfill because of the extensive testing that's been done over the years and the flow of water. Tidewater would look at either the option of developing a well on site or bringing it over from Walker's Mill if that's even feasible. But at this point, they have not done any investigation on that.
I have no further questions this time.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy?
I just have one. The grassy area that will be used for sidewalks, who will maintain that as far as cutting?
It would be a function of the homeowners, except for the area that Tidewater would need to maintain.
Right.
It would be the homeowners association if they you know, chose to have it a grass cutting contract, or some areas may just grow up natural and be a little bit
more. I'm talking about along the road. You're going to have a grass area along the road that you're going to use for sidewalk? Is that what I'm understanding? Or
No.
What's the green area along?
There's no provision for any sidewalk. DelDOT is going to make us put in a multi-use path. It's going to be asphalt.
But what's the green area along the roads, the inner roads?
That was a product of the render.
That would actually be part of the homeowner's lot. They would maintain up to the road.
Up to the road?
Oh, yes, yes. The homeowners would typically mow that grass as a typical lot.
So, just so I understand, so you have the right-of-way. That's showing the actual limits of the right-of-way and then the pavement within the right-of-way.
Right, that's the pavement within the right-of-way. And the right-of-way is typically cut in front of the house by the homeowner.
It's a little confusing to me. I mean, it looks like it's an area that that won't be in the lot area.
In the rendering, it was just to show where the lot area began
and ended. Okay. That's all the question I have.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
Just one or two. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of my questions have been answered. In your projections, do you have an idea of what you think the possible number of children that may be at any point occupying this development would be?
It's estimated by the school district that this would generate about 6/10 of a student per house.
Okay.
So it has minimal impact on the district.
80 children?
Yes.
Something like that. Okay. And we have restrictive covenants.
I believe we do on this one. With
there are restrictive covenants, a draft included in the project book.
As I said, I think they were reviewed as part of the TAC report, and as I recall, I don't think there was any. Yeah, and there wasn't any comments that I had on those. They were the fairly typical ones that cover all the bases, including the ag notice and that type of thing.
And I did hear what you said about the what you would anticipate and hope that you could bring this project in under moderately priced housing, and I applaud you for that, I have to say, and I realize the difficulty of trying to get it in those price ranges with the pressures of concrete and steel and different things. I think I'm echoing the sentiments of what I've heard the other commissioners express. Somewhat concerned about the lack of sidewalks and that type of mobility. And just as a suggestion, are we, and in keeping with your cost consciousness, are we limiting ourselves to thinking of these sidewalks only in terms of concrete? Is there some other acceptable surface, whether it be a hot mix or something that might serve the needs of the community's mobility, save you and the future homeowners monies, and be a benefit to this community? I don't have that answer, and I'll ask that of you, Mr. Smith.
I mean, maybe we should defer that to Mr. Ryder, Mr. Smith, because it is the company's business to mix materials of all sorts.
I think you bring up a good point, and I don't know that I have the answer either, but it's worthy of investigation.
An example, Mr. Smith, is the temporary bike path the state put in on Gills Neck Road, which is a series of materials topped with stone dust. Mm-hmm. How permanent that is, I don't know, but it's a different type of pervious surface.
Possibility we may be exploring, looking at some other areas, things in the rights of way, like rain gardens and detached sidewalks, or areas that possibly could reduce your stormwater management areas, which would offset any increases in cost to you to provide safer mobility, and maybe free up the open space that you've calculated in on the wet ponds as more actual open space that would be active. Mm-hmm. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, sir. Mr. Lank?
Just one question. Heard a statement earlier, and I wasn't sure what was said, but have you received a septic or sewer feasibility yet from Denny?
Yes.
That report just came in.
Have we been? Do you have a copy of that?
I have a copy for you.
Okay, thank you.
Here's one here, Kevin.
For the record, later.
Actually, I brought an extra.
All right, thank you. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Counts?
I understand your concerns about engineering's request about a fence, but they had a couple of other requests that just want to make sure you're okay with. One of them was the deed restriction about the groundwater management zone.
That's
taken care of?
Matter of law.
Okay. All right. And the other, there was a request for access to the two monitoring wells and easement.
They're going to get across the fence they want us to build.
Maybe you can put in the gate while you're at it.
Pay for the gate. That's not a problem, Mr. Capps. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see it noted on the rendering, and I didn't know if.
Ultimately, it will be. This is obviously very preliminary.
Right. And the only other thing, since you've redesigned it and recalculated everything, You may have mentioned it, but I missed it. The amount of open space that's not tied up in stormwater management and other things like the community septic area, what I would call usable open space.
It's not stormwater and is not the community wastewater?
That's correct.
There's 12 acres of passive active open space, and then there's 6 acres of buffer, which PLUS doesn't consider.
Right, but that's required otherwise.
Right.
One thing that PLUS did accomplish, it did persuade the applicant to increase the buffer by 60%.
Good.
From 30 to 50 throughout.
Am I correct in saying that the community wastewater area is very large at this point? It
yeah.
may not require.
Yeah.
Yes. And that'll help, sure. I understand. That's all. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you guys would kindly stand down for a few minutes, we'll see if there's anybody here that would has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-27 OA Newton? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-27? Is there anyone on the commission has any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-28, Sussex Ventures Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Seaford 100, Sussex County, by dividing 61.17 acres into 44 lots located east of Route 550, 1/2 mile south of Route 20. Gentlemen, this application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee and comments were requested to be received by January 24th of 2007. A letter of no objection to record was received from DelDOT on January 11th of 2007. On May 25th of 2007, the applicant's engineer submitted a revised plan addressing the Technical Advisory Committee comments. Each commissioner, I believe, has a copy of those comments, a copy of that revised plan. A septic feasibility statement was received from DENREC on May 23rd of 2007, indicating that the site is suitable for on-site septic.